podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
On today's show, we're going to talk about the dentist, WVU fall camp, and more. It's your boys, RVK. This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, joined by...
Another week, J-Fiend in the building, ready to go and kill him.
It's time for pop culture.
Pop, 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 pop.
What are we talking about today, Jay?
I'm going in. We're talking about the dentist. Do you like going to the dentist? What's your experiences at the dentist? You know what? I've known for a long time that there's a lot of people, a lot of Americans who do not like going to the dentist. They're scared of whatever. They're scared of people being in the mouth. They're scared of the noises, the drills, the scrapes, all that good stuff, which, you know, puts fear in their heart. Personally, I don't have a problem with the dentist. I actually like going to the dentist. I'm one of them weird people who, as long as it doesn't hurt, which most of the time it doesn't, if you're working on me, I'm fine. I'll let it go. What about you, B?
I'm the same way. If I'm going in for a cleaning, I love the dentist. I love my mouth being so fresh and so clean, clean. And I just like the general atmosphere of laying back and letting somebody take care of me. I like pedicures. I like manicures. I like massages. Yep. And for me, dentist work is basically like self-care. However, I don't like the drill sound. That's one thing that gets to me. I need to be numbed up. And if I get the chance, I need to be, laughing gassed up. If that's up to me, that's what I'm getting.
Do you know I've never...
That's another good reason to go to the dentist, the laughing gas.
Do you know I've never in my life, not one time, ever had laughing gas?
Are you serious?
I feel ripped off. Yes, that one time we all went... I don't even know what we went for. And you might get laughing gas, and they didn't give me any. I don't know why. But the truth is, I've never had it. Never had it.
It's great. It doesn't last long. It wears off, like, right away, too. That's the other good thing about it.
No, but as long as they numb you up. All right, so the drills and stuff, I figured out. So here last week, I went in. I had a broken tooth in the back of my mouth. I figured something was going to go on. I figured we'd reschedule for a date that worked for everybody. You know, they get in there and take a look at it. I was kind of shocked when my doctor, Chad Bush, shout out Premier Group. That's a free shout out right there because they did a good job. And I actually went to junior high and high school with him, which even makes it better because it's better when you know somebody's going to take care of you. I sit down in the seat. They were great. They were gracious. But I didn't know what was going down right then. I'll be honest. I got a little nervous. I got a little, like, he's like, oh, we could do the root canal right now. And I thought, whoa, you can't just be springing stuff on me. You got to let me think. Let me evaluate. Let me get my emotions right. But, you know, they did it, and it went all right. They numbed it up. I think the worst part from a lot of people was seeing that needle go in, but, you know, it's just a tiny little pinch. It's more of your anticipation than anything because the actual pinch of the needle going in isn't that bad. People visualize it and think about it, but it really isn't that bad. And then once you're numbed up, they just go to work. And I found out and I figured out the drill sound, if you just shut your eyes and imagine you're at a car shop because you can't feel it and they're not in your mouth, it doesn't bother you as much.
No, I agree. A lot of it's mental. But I do feel bad for people. There are people who literally pass out at the thought of being at the dentist. And some of it has to do with the needle. Some of it has to do with the drill. But there are people who are literally palm sweaty, knees weak, mom spaghetti.
all the other Eminem 8 Mile stuff, yeah.
Over the dentist. Dentophobia is real. It's crazy to me this day and age because mostly now all procedures are pretty much painless. It's not like the old days where you had to go in and just deal with it. Now most procedures are just painless, but there's so many people who hate dentists. I thought for sure you were going to say that you were anti-dentist, by the way.
No, not at all.
Or as Jerry Seinfeld would say, or as actually Tim Watley would say on the Seinfeld, you're an anti-dentite, but you're not.
No, I'm not. But as you look down through here, do you know how many diseases are caused by bad teeth?
Oh, there's a lot. People don't realize heart disease can come from gingivitis, stomach issues. People don't realize it.
Amen. AbsoluteDental.com talks about 10 health issues that are caused from having bad oral health. Cardiovascular disease, like you just said. And it says, having poor health puts a person at risk for heart disease. If the gums are inflamed due to the bacteria that causes, see, that's the reason why I should just be reading first time, some word I can't pronounce, some kind of disease, that same bacteria can actually get into the bloodstream and cause the arteries to build a plaque and harden. The hardening of the arteries is also called another thing I'm not going to pronounce. And it's very serious.
Let's go back. What's the first word you couldn't pronounce? Spell it.
What's it, periodontal?
Yeah.
Periodontal disease?
Yeah.
I just didn't want to say it wrong, so I was just, you know, just keep it moving. But now we're going to have the the.
Yeah.
I wish it could have been something huge. The second word was atherosclerosis.
Atherosclerosis.
Okay. That's the second word I skipped.
Hardening of the arteries.
There you go. Boom. That's all you need to know. Hardening the arteries. It also talks about it causing dementia, respiratory infections, even diabetes, pregnancy complications, infertility, erectile dysfunction, cancer, kidney disease, which as you read down through here, most of it comes from the bacteria that's causing these diseases in the gums that you're not taking care of, because people forget that the teeth are a part of the body. They're attached to your head right under your brain. So
your
any diseases
too.
That you're – there you go. And anything that your mouth is fighting is going to have a direct impact on the rest of the body. It's just like any other part of the body.
We need to be inducted into the American Dental Association for this segment right now. I was just thinking about that. This is all free publicity for the American Dental Association. We need to be inducted right now. Ahora.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. It's important. Not to mention probably the least important thing – who likes walk around with halitosis breath?
Halitosis, bad teeth, all that.
I remember the comic said her breath stank so bad, even her whisper stank. She leaned over and said, pass the popcorn. Gotta get them teeth right.
What you been doing? Chewing on doo-doo mints?
Makes me want to put a toothpaste in my fist and bust you in the mouth.
No, that's real.
So get it right, man. Get that mouthwash right. Now we're in COVID-19. There's some different health things that they take care of. They call you for like a pre-screening. They ask you some questions on whether you've been sick. I've been around anybody who's been sick. They do the temperature thing. You wear a mask the whole way in. The dentist and the assistant both wear masks. And they're even using this thing called the dental dam. Now, I don't know if you've seen a picture that I had out. It's pretty much – it's like a really thin rubber thing that they put over your mouth, where it only shows one or two teeth at a time, which stops your respiration from getting on them, blocks everything back on you, and doesn't have them infecting you as well. I mean, it's a pretty good setup. Being as healthy as you can be in this COVID-19. Like I said, if it's something routine or non-essential, just like a checkup or a cleaning, reschedule to a better time when things get better. But if you have to go in like I did because I broke a tooth, yeah. Yeah, they got some precautionary things out there. But that's us.
Look at us being educational. The more you know.
Dropping knowledge on them, son.
So
that's what it is.
I heard somebody say one time, only floss the teeth you want to keep.
That's funny.
It's real.
That's funny. That's good. About to tweet that out, son.
About to tweet that
out. let them know. That's us. We want you to get at us, your boys, RBK.
Are you afraid of the dentist? Do you like the dentist? Best experiences, worst experiences? Shout out to any of the dentists or oral surgeons you've had to deal with. Get at us, as Jeremy just said, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you might consume the RBK. You can also leave us an anchor message. You can leave it, and we can add it to the show. You can actually be a part of the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. Get at your boys. And let me give a shout to Shrinkables. Shrinkables has been with us from the beginning, from the get. Definitely been with us, ride or die. Show love to Shrinkables. Shrinkables!
Raspy Voice!
It's time to talk football. West Virginia University fall camp is underway. I believe it's the 8th day. Jeremy, do you have any thoughts about what's going on in Morgantown?
Not really. Actually, you know what? I do. You see, they look excited to be playing. You see Chase Barrett and Austin Kendall rolling in. that little gif, I don't know if it's a little short video, whatever you want to call it, it just looks like they're having fun. It seems like the players are excited to be back and excited to actually have a chance to be on the field playing. So it seems like a good environment so far. But, you know, how does that translate on the field? We'll see. I know ESPN doesn't think it's going to do too much. But, you know me. I drink the Kool-Aid, so.
Well, two different pundits picked us to finish 2-8. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the strength of the offensive line. Me personally, I don't see it possible that we finish 2-8. I don't see that even remotely possible.
Absolutely not.
And I'm not a Kool-Aid drinker like you, but I don't see that possible. One of the big reasons that I feel this way is because so far we're hearing good things about the offensive line. Mike Brown, who didn't play very consistently last year, they said he's been playing consistently in practice thus far. Chase Barron, as you mentioned, they said he's been amazing. He's been doing really, really well. So that's good news also for the offensive line. Parker Moore, he sounds like he's doing well. So if the offensive line is good, I'm not worried about the skill positions. I think Letty Brown and Alex Hinkfield are very good backs. Or I shouldn't say very good. I think they're good backs, personally. I'm not worried about any position on offense except for the offensive line. And so far, it sounds like they're better than what was expected. So I'm excited about that, me, myself, and I. Quarterback, where I didn't think there'd be a problem and I didn't think there'd be much of a competition, seems to be an actual competition between Austin Kendall and Jarrett Daigie. It looks like neither one of them is lighting the world on fire right now. Tykee Smith had two interceptions. Everybody was praising him for those two interceptions because Tykee Smith is a key player returning for the West Virginia Mountaineers on defense. But I never know what to think. Is Tykee Smith doing really well, or were they bad balls? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it seems that Tykee Smith keeps getting props, keeps getting love given to him after days of camp. So I think he's a big-time player. Now for me, more than that, just listening to the coaches and whatnot, talking about how close this battle is so far, very, very, very early on. But I don't want to get it twisted. Tykee can play ball. I think he's going to be a good player for us this year.
He already is good. He had a good season last year. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you say about the quarterbacks that they've thrown two interceptions, that they threw two interceptions in one practice.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't bother me. Like I said, it's early on. We're just getting back in the mix. We're just now getting warmed up. Listen to them NFL camps. Listen to, these camps breaking and people throwing interceptions, all kinds of quarterbacks. They were talking about Cam Newton throwing interceptions. I don't know if they mentioned Tom Brady threw one in practice or not. I'm not sure. But, you know, everybody's just now getting back in the swing of things, so I'm not really worried about that. Not right now.
Head coach Neil Brown said that he feels like mentally they're ahead of the game, whereas physically they're behind schedule, which doesn't surprise anybody because of the layoff, because of COVID, which is one of the things I wondered about actually playing a season this year. But it's good that the game, they get delayed. Instead of playing August 29th or September 5th, they're playing September 12th against Eastern Kentucky, who will be playing Marshall on September 5th. Which is a nice relief because I did not want to play Marshall. I don't ever want to play Marshall. In my opinion, it's a worthless game. It's something that's not worth doing. But Eastern Kentucky will play them, and hopefully by then the guys will be ready. He said, Neil Brown also said that he's getting the team ready to get into contact because he knows that they can't play games without actually having physically tackled and been tackled. So we're going to see what happens there.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see especially what happens to the secondary. We got the guy from
Fortune. Got to keep him in mind. His mom passed away, so you want to keep him in mind.
Yeah, I was listening to Tony Caridi and the boys, and that's what they talked about. They said if the season were to start right now, it'd probably be Drayshon Miller and Nick Fortune playing at the cornerback, and how Drayshon Miller seems to be playing really at a high level. Unfortunate, you know, prayers and thoughts with Nick. You know, going through what he's going through, he's at home. Obviously, it's a tough time. But we also need him. We need him. And especially if he can play big. Then you look at the safeties, the transfer from Arizona. Be nice if he could play. If he can't, we already have senior. We have two other seniors there who hopefully can show up to that secondary. But if he is eligible, that'll only help. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on, and we have a lot of good players, good linebackers, good defensive line. I just feel like there's no way in the world I can see us going 2-8, and I feel very optimistic for the season. I think we're going to surprise a lot of people, but it's just so early right now. Who really knows exactly everything, you know, was really going to materialize.
Offensive line and quarterback, those are the keys. Because at receiver, I think we're really deep. They're talking about Sam James as being a key player once again for the Mountaineers. Taking the top off the defense, they said that he's bigger, he's stronger, and he's faster. And last year, he put the Big 12 on notice. Now, he had a lot of drops, and he missed 50-50 balls. But a lot of that you could attribute to being a true freshman. This year, it looks like it's going to be different. Allie Jennings are talking about being a David Sills-type receiver, which if he could be that, man, that would be amazing. I was with Tyrone Carrier the night Allie Jennings said he was coming to WVU. We were at Bartini. When he told me and he asked me if I wanted to break it on the show, I told him we didn't break news. But I always want to see Allie Jennings do well. Shout out to DeFi Genetics, who trained him. But he's not the only one. We've got Sean Ryan, Bryce Wheaton Ford. So I mean, I just think the offense is loaded. If the important parts, the offensive line and quarterback, can play, I will be very surprised if Austin Kendall's the quarterback. What about you?
I will too. If he's the quarterback, it's going to show me a lot about his work ethic. Because,
remember, he was hurt last year.
Okay. His accuracy wasn't where I wanted it to be. Some of the out routes were perfect. The deep ball just he couldn't get on target with his receivers, and I always feel like if you're not accurate, you're not going to be accurate. Now if he's hurt, that changes things. You know what I mean? That changes things a lot. But if you're just missing, like people, you know, as a freshman, oh, he'll get better, he'll get more accurate. I don't really see a whole lot of difference between a freshman and a senior when it comes to accuracy. If you can't throw, you can't throw. Sorry, and I'm not saying also Kendall can't throw. He didn't do it last year. But I love the confidence he has. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, he came to West Virginia. There's a reason why he went to Oklahoma. So I hope he's everything everybody thinks he is, and I hope he just comes in and balls out. Either way, I want the best player to play and you know, make West Virginia look good. But once again, like I said, we'll see. Wait till they start putting the pads on. Wait till they actually start playing a little bit more and we start to get more feedback so we can really get a feeling of what it is. It's too early right now.
Yeah, but it's still fun to talk about. It's fun to see, too, for me, the young guys that are getting talked about. Winston Wright, Sean Martin as a freshman getting talked about, and as a 304 boy, Sean Martin, looking good for the Mountaineers right now, according to all reports. Now, it's hard because most of the media can't be there, so we're relying basically on what Neil Brown says. So you don't know how much he's keeping close to the vest and how much is just coach speak. But I think this is the first time... I've been excited about what's being said.
And think about the maturity that we have at safety. We got Jake Long, a redshirt senior. You know what I mean? Sean Mahone, a redshirt senior. So we have, I feel like, leaders on the team who should be able to get it. Like, I don't know. I'm excited for this year. And I'm not the smartest person in the world, but 2-8 is just ridiculous to me. That's absolutely incredible that they could even say 2-8. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see who actually shows up and who actually balls.
What I'm curious about now is, does the season actually happen? Because Pac-12 officials and a lot of Big Ten officials seem to believe that nobody's going to play. And one of the things happening there is the ACC is having some trouble. There's a COVID outbreak at North Carolina forcing them to do online schooling, online classes for 2 weeks, and the president at UNC said the situation is currently untenable, which is not a good sound coming out.
By the way, you said worried about now. You mean worried about every week. Every week there's an update on, do you think this season actually is going to actually get played?
Yeah, but now students are getting back on campus, and you're having outbreaks. You're getting pictures and videos of people out partying, no mask, no social distancing. Many of those people are players?
Kirk Herbstreit was on Pat McAfee, and that's what he said. He said,
I heard it.
He's like, I just can't see it happening. He's like, and then you talk to these experts. Some experts say, how in the world could you not play football when blah, blah, blah? These are the risks. If the players want to play and if parents want to play and they're ready to assume the risk, why not play? And then there's other experts who say, how in the world could you even be thinking about playing football? Matter of fact, my homeboy, we're going to just call him Marshall Matt. I put up a post about college football, and he's like, are you serious, Jeremy? You seriously think there's going to be college football?
Yeah.
He said right now they're just kicking the can down the street. He said it's getting canceled before it even starts, which I don't like to think about. You know, if I'm dreaming, let me dream, okay? It's been enough terribleness in this year that if I want to dream for just a couple more weeks that maybe possibly we can squeeze in the game before it all gets canceled, let me dream. Let me believe.
That's what I think happens. I think there will be games before it all gets shut down. I don't think it gets shut down before there are actual games, personally. But I don't think we make it through a whole season. I just think there's too – I think it's too contagious. And there are too many unknowns. And while Kirk Herbstreit said that the players in the Big Ten, the people who signed the petition for Justin Fields, over 250,000 people now, parents, players, saying that they're wanting to play, they're willing to play, they're willing to assume risk, how many of those people are willing to sign paperwork saying that they will not sue? And if something terrible or tragic were to happen? And further than that, how will that stand up in court if somebody decides to buck that? Because that's the thing. People talk a lot and they say what they would do, but that's a lot of what you're saying now before things go south. If things do go south, then it's 2020 vision when you're looking back.
And even with 2020 vision with the Big Ten, you know, people started thinking, wow, what if Nebraska joined the Big 12 for just one season? Like Kirk said, that is never going to happen.
Never.
More or less, they're never going to let them teams play. Because it's not about this year. What happens if they get there and all of a sudden it works and now they want to stay? You know? No way. No way. The Big Ten would never let that happen.
And I agree. You're either in or you're out.
Yep.
You're in or you're out. I mean, that'd be like if players could do that. Can you imagine players saying, I'm going to leave Ohio State and play for Georgia this year, but I'll be back at Ohio State next year? I mean, that's basically what the teams would be saying if they decided they were going to leave their conference for 1 year, play, and then come back the next year. It just doesn't make any sense. One thing I didn't know, because I knew the Big Ten and Pac-12 were obviously connected because of the Rose Bowl. I didn't realize how connected they were. Jeremy, did you realize they've been connected since 1946?
Yeah. Well, I heard the same interview you did.
Oh, so. That's right. And they talked about Lou Holtz talking about that, which that's just – so it makes more sense that the two did the same thing. But the coach – the thing that I find interesting is the responses. Kirk Herbstreit talked about this. Pat McAfee talked about this. The response in the Pac-12 and the response in the Big Ten – from the coaches has been so vastly different. You hear almost nothing from the Pac-12. All the noise you hear comes from the Big Ten. And it's crazy to me.
You know why? Because I'm sorry. I don't care what nobody says. The Pac-12 cares about college football the least. The South cares about it the most. And then Ohio State is right after that. That's what it is. The Midwest is after that. Brandon, and if you don't believe me, start pricing tickets for big games. Look for a Michigan-Ohio State ticket or Alabama-LSU ticket. Then go out west and look how much a USC versus Oregon ticket is. I'm telling you, over here, outrageous. A Tennessee game, I don't know who Tennessee thinks they are, outrageous, $200-some per ticket versus, you know, Alabama when they come in or $300 when Alabama comes in. Over at USC, you can go to the Coliseum, watch them play their big-time rival, UCLA, for $65. Because they just crazy. Don't care. They just don't care as much.
No, that really is crazy.
And by the way, this is not me making up stuff. Go check the ticket prices. Check how much these things go for. It's not like their stadium holds so much more. They just don't care as much. I'm sorry.
They don't. They're more academically inclined. They're more scientifically inclined.
More NFL. I mean, more pro sports inclined, most importantly.
More pro. And even pro sports, they don't show up till late and they leave early. So it's just all so interesting. I just wonder what the financial ramifications will be for all of this. And I also wonder what in the world will we do if there is no college football? What will you do, Jeremy, if there's no college football on Saturdays?
I don't know. Probably watch the NFL since it'll take over Saturdays, but
do you think the NFL will do that?
Yes. Are you serious? Kirk was talking about it there again on Pat McAfee, and he was like, it's up in the air right now because they're talking about some of the college football hosting NFL games. And somebody had said that they're going to permanently do it, like, because that's the A team that ABC has. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But Yeah, yeah. I think for
well,
sure.
Well, I just wonder, though, because
Saturday
the NFL,
is prime realty.
It is prime real estate, but the trouble is the NFL likes I don't know. I can see them easily keeping games on Sunday and trying to maintain tradition.
Nope.
And also not getting
they went to
more.
Brandon, they already went to Thursday. If you go to you don't break tradition more than going to Thursday. They're going to Saturday. If there's no college football, they are going to Saturday. Two days of NFL football, no doubt.
I hope so. It'll save the fall if they do that.
Somewhat, without unless that, you, yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Well, without that, what do we do?
It's true.
Like somebody said, dude right now getting so nervous thinking about all the pumpkin patch trips they're going to have to take this year on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about that. It's so terrible.
It's terrible.
But true.
So I don't know. I do know. I hope it doesn't come to that. The one cool thing is there's a new saliva test. So they don't have to stick the brush all the way up the nose to check to see if you have COVID. It's a new saliva test. Andy Slavitt reported about it on Twitter. It's out of Yale, I believe. And the best thing about the saliva test is it's only $4.
There you go.
So $4 makes it affordable to everybody. Everybody can afford to test regularly at $4 a test as opposed to $100 a test, which is about what it is right now. If that saliva test is real, if it's accurate, then college football has a much greater chance of happening. But I think one of the things I think has happened is people are just tired of quarantine. Even the people that I know that are the most hardcore, who were the most hardcore as far as quarantine and social distancing, they're just not doing it anymore. And when you start talking about taking college football away, when people are already feeling this way, I just think they're going to have to find a way. They're going to find a way. They're going to want to find a way to play. But I just don't think that it'll last. I think there's going to be too many breakouts because people aren't following the rules and are not even trying to follow the rules. West Virginia, for example, is begging and pleading on social media and through other means to get their campus to be safe and to be responsible, and it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
And the bars and clubs aren't going to help because they need the money. They need the
yep.
business. So we'll see.
That's all I got.
You want to talk about the NBA bubble? Jeremy, have you been watching Dame Lillard?
Nah, not yet. I'll get into it. It's just I didn't see Dame time beat LA, but the truth is, you know, overreaction Monday. I mean, we've watched too many NBA sporting events. Too many series to realize that one game, I mean, doesn't mean a thing. I appreciate you, Dame. You went off, Dame. You did your thing, Dame. You're not winning the series. I'm sorry.
He went off for 7 games in a row now, Jay.
Yeah, well, that's one game against the Lakers. I'm sorry.
I just don't see the Lakers guards being able to handle McCollum or Dame Lillard. I don't see that changing. I don't see a game plan in which that changes.
Yeah, I don't see where the Lakers missed so many shots like Kuzma and then everybody else that game.
I believe Jeremy, they've been missing shots the entire bubble. This wasn't a fluke or a one game anomaly.
Well, to put some money on it.
Some money on it. You know I don't put no money on no games.
Still, like you jumping bad, like you got some real feelings.
Now, Orlando and Milwaukee, another 8 seed beating a 1 seed in the first game. I don't see that continuing.
Oh, Jalen Rose called that too. He didn't say they were going to win, but Jalen Rose was like, "Look, you're gonna have Gordon coming in here talk about." I'm not scared of Andre DeCumpo, the Greek freak. I'm just as good as him. And other players on Orlando saying, what? We can ball too. He said, watch out. Watch out for Orlando in this first game. They're not going to win the series, but I fully believe this first game, they're going to give them everything they have. And what happened? They win that first game. So the key to this is don't overreact over one game. It's the number one thing.
I'll tell you another game that I'm interested in. Dallas and the Clippers. I thought the Clippers would handle the Mavericks. Luka Doncic, 42 points in his debut, the most ever by a debut in a debut playoff game. And I think the Mavs would have won that game if Kristaps Porzingis wasn't kicked out 21 minutes to go.
Me too.
I think it's real trouble. That's real trouble for the Clippers because I don't think that changes. Again, I don't think that changes at all. I think Kristaps has confidence now, and I think Doncic has confidence now that they can do what they want to do offensively against the Clippers, who are supposed to be so great on the perimeter defending.
But you got to learn how to win, and you have to learn how to be a championship team. Still think Dallas is a little too young, and I think the Clippers have a little too much moxie and veteran leadership with Kawhi. And the biggest thing is this. If Dallas could have taken game one and it put real pressure on the series, they lost a game that they probably should have won had Porzingis not been hit with that first bogus technical. And when you let a game slip like that in a series you're not supposed to win anyway, that could be big. So, you know, they may get a couple, but they're not winning the series either.
I just love how they're doing it. I wish you could put college football in a bubble. I wish you could put the NFL in a bubble. I wish that those sports had the same opportunity that the NBA does. Of course, they're completely different. There are way more players. It's just not possible to do that.
Now, here's the thing. I'm sure we're going to talk about this later on. I just thought about this. Like, let's say West Virginia gets to the national championship game somehow. Okay, I know. I'm dreaming. West Virginia gets to the national championship game. Is there any way that they're really going to do any tests on any of their players that week? Answer is no.
But if you say that, what about conference championships? What about rivalry games? What about the Red River rivalry?
Yeah, that's not a national championship. West Virginia, if we get to the national championship game, I am telling you now, there is not going to be one real test that gets reported if it's failed.
Or like McAfee said, if somebody gets sick, we did contact tracing. He's a loner. He wasn't around anyone.
Yeah.
He was by himself the entire time.
Because the way it works is if somebody comes down with it, the people that were around him get quarantined too.
For two weeks,
you could miss and have a big time player miss, and he not even have COVID. He was just around somebody who did. So, like you said, he's a loner. No, he didn't stay around anybody.
No. He was by himself.
Yeah, this is crazy right now, but we can't wait to see how it turns out.
Yeah, and I personally am loving the playoffs. I'm loving it. It feels like March Madness to me. All the games, game after game after game. I love it. I'm loving it, and maybe it's just me missing sports, but I wouldn't say that because I don't care about baseball, and I haven't been paying attention to baseball, except for Fernando Tatis, which, by the way, Fernando Tatis has been doing what I love, obliterating unwritten rules, hitting a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch, stealing third base up 6 runs. I love it.
I can't stand. I like baseball. I love playoff baseball. I can't stand baseball purists and the unwritten rule. Like I said this a while back, just say it out loud one time. Because a guy flips his bat, I'm going to throw a 97-mile-an-hour fastball at his head. Does that even make sense? Get out of here.
I hate unwritten rules. They're so stupid. Baseball has no clock, which means you can have a big inning and come back. You don't take your foot off the gas, period. Especially now with the new extra innings rule where you had a man who starts on second base. I just don't understand these people. And then Tatis's manager saying that he told him not to swing. Why would you tell a guy not to swing? These are grown men who've been playing baseball their whole life. Why would you not just let them go up there and make the best decision possible? Unless you had something very specific as far as strategy is concerned. And in that case, he didn't have anything as far as strategy concerned. He was just honoring those stupid unwritten rules, which is one of the reasons why baseball is losing young fans and why they're not going to attract casual fans.
Throw a better pitch.
Don't throw a meatball down the middle and get mad when somebody dings it.
Dumbest thing ever. Gosh, I can't stand baseball. Baseball's purest. Man, they get on my nerves.
I hate them too. But that's it for the RVK. If you guys have anything for us, let us know. Is there anything WVU basketball-wise you want to talk about?
Nope.
What do you think about Hug's new hair, his long hair and goatee?
I don't know if I've seen it.
He's looking grizzled. And now he's on Cameo too, which means you can pay to have him say a message to a friend or family member or to yourself if you want. So shout out to Hugs on getting on Cameo, charging $100 a pop.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, I'm cutting it off. That's it.
All right, guys, that's it for the RVK. That's it for the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt,
with Jeremy.
In the building. Jeremy J. and Fiend in the building. Get at us any way you know how. Holla at your boys.
Social Podcast Network.